Good morning, everyone, and hi, and happy August, beginning of August, midsummer. I'm Carla, one of the new members in the parish, and I would like to share a bit of myself with you today on this topic of feeding on the bread of life. And first, I will begin with a question to all of you, and I would like you to answer. So, how many of you practice some form of exercise or stretching or movement on a regular basis? Good. Don't worry, this is not a PE class. If you don't perform an exercise, how about a hobby like reading or cooking? Yes. Good. Or doing volunteer work? Great. So, all of you have something that you do that brings you pleasure. So, please go inside for a moment and visualize your type of physical practice or hobby or giving. I want you to think right now, what do you do? Where do you go? Are you alone or are you with someone? What is the emotional process you go through and how do you feel when you finished your efforts? So now we're all in this place in our imagination, I hope. And we feel good about our bodies, generally raising our mood and outlook and confidence and security in our place in the world. It's a nice place to be. I've practiced yoga off and on for about 6 years with a lot of struggle. And consistently since December, ironically, since I started attending church. I think there's a connection. And I'm full of curiosity of how the body is like an instrument, finely tuned and balanced with a multitude of layers and systems and potential. Generally, a yoga class, if you're not familiar, but maybe many of you are, is led by a trained instructor who guides the class members through a series of poses. Don't worry, I'm not going to demonstrate. But they induce proper posture, breathing, alignment, strength, and patience. The ultimate effect is one of clearing the mind of body and toxins, realigning the physical with the present, and even for me, being a part of the spirit of life. So how is practicing yoga, or your hobby, or your volunteer work, feeding on the bread of life? What does this mean? It may be obvious, but going back to the Gospel of John helps me to understand more deeply. In John, the crowd looking for Jesus in Capernaum found him on the other side of the sea, as the reading says. And they said to him, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." What is that food for you? Where do you find it in your life? The author of John explains that many people were questioning Jesus' identity as the Son of God. And we may have those questions too. As the prophet, as the one who shall come to lay his life down for others to see and feed on the bread of life. And the people disbelieved him and were looking for signs or miracles. In the Gospel of John, you may know, Jesus performed 7 signs, some of which were: he turned water into wine, very nice. He cured a young boy who was near death. On the Sabbath, he cured a crippled man to make him walk again. He multiplied 5 barley loaves and 2 fish enough for 5,000 of his followers, and he walked on water. Wow. These signs are miracles, and the characters they are performed on represent many levels of faith and coming to know the Word and taking a leap of faith when we don't have proof. Back to yoga. This past week, on Tuesday evening, I was practicing yoga down at the Bay Club, and my yoga instructor began class with a lesson, a verbal lesson. I'll paraphrase what he said. So, students, why practice yoga? Why are you here right now? One woman responded, "It's a miracle I'm here." And we all laughed. It sometimes is a miracle to do anything. The teacher continued. He's a very handsome, thin, gray-haired man. "I like to be useful to people. I find great pleasure in that, being useful. I have two jobs. One is this one, teaching yoga, and the other is a wilderness ranger. And I alternate between teaching yoga in the city and doing ranger work for 9 days out in the outback. When I'm in the wilderness, it's very clear to me how I can be useful. It's very clear. Things are much more simple. I know that in order to be useful, I have to take care of myself. I have to eat. I have to sleep. I have to teach nature with respect. I have to carry less things. And I have to listen to the air and to the earth. Things are in balance. In the city, it's difficult to feel useful and likewise to take care of myself. People are much more anonymous, even disconnected, and they don't want my help. There's a huge amount of stimulation and interruption, and multitasking is a must versus slowing down and being quiet. In the city, I have to fight like a warrior. I have to fight to be in a good mood, fight to be kind to others, and fight to stay away from bad habits." So, the instructor continues, "I joke to my students that practicing yoga makes me less of a bump, 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 you know what, to others. Very useful." So we all took this in, and we breathe, and we say, "Namaste, thank you, teacher." And we did our work. Thinking this week about this topic of feeding on the bread of life, I came to realize that I personally believe there are signs of God's work everywhere. In people, in work, when I go to work, in walking a dog, in looking at children. That evening's yoga class was definitely a sign for me, and the following postures and breath work were grace-filled. I was taking care of myself so that I could go out into the world to be here today. I have a confession. To prepare for this sermon, I thought I should really look at the scriptures. And to be honest with you, the Bible is a very new text to me. I've always considered reading it and wanting to read the full length of it, but every time I tried, I'd start in Genesis and I'd get messed up and confused in all the names, and I would put it aside. But I've studied the Bible in Sunday school, and my parents have told me stories, so I'm familiar with some of it. And I thought, okay, I really need to sit down and read. And so I read the Gospel of John, and I read the letter to Ephesians. And Reverend Jeff, it took me all day. But thank you for that gift. So I began by reading the letter to the Ephesians, and I learned that it's the Bible's great Pauline letter from one of the Gospel leaders. And it's about the church, capital C, the purpose of which is to be the instrument for making God's plan of salvation known through the universe, uniting the Jews and the Gentiles into one church so that we could all practice together. Ephesians also gives us admonitions on how to live life in light along with a community of fellow believers like you. I'll repeat part of today's Ephesians reading, which Chris did so well. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And I ask you, what are you? We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. We need to take care of ourselves so that we can love. So the letter to Ephesians, when I read it and still read it, gives great sense of hope and confidence about being a part of the church, and I really recommend it for you. In spite of all of our troubles and hardships and the economy and the world struggling right now, this letter gives a great sense of hope. Before I step down, I have an assignment for all of you. Get ready. The teacher in me says we all need to do work. So yoga might not be your thing, and I totally understand. But whatever your thing is this week, consciously do it. When you cook, when you read, when you walk your dog, when you play the music that you play. When you do it, I'd like you to make a list of three activities in your life you know you're feeding on the bread of life. And you may surprise yourself. I think it may be everywhere. And then make a list of three ways you know you are useful. And you are. So here in this church, and in the greater church out there, we are feeding on the bread of life. This is a place to sit, to pause in your prayer or your meditation or your thoughts. Elongate in it, build strength and intention. And today, this special day of communion, when we eat the bread and drink the wine, symbols of God's love, may we acknowledge and know our own gifts and how we are indeed useful to this world.